Lord, you are worthy of our praise. And as we come together tonight, it's to say firstly, thank you to you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness, your grace. Thank you for every way in which we have sensed your gracious hand at work among us over this past year. And we offer this evening as a thank offering to you, Lord. May there be many of us that just sense we're bringing our worship and praise as we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's take our seats and a special welcome. And if it's your first time to one of these Thanksgiving evenings, they're part of our special annual time where we take the chance to look back over the past year and thank God for his goodness. We have three of these kind of occasions: a vision evening in the autumn, then a special prayer time during the prayer week, and then our Thanksgiving, usually this time of year. So a special welcome. I just want to share a scripture as we start that may just encourage us even from today, but also link in with what we're going to be sharing tonight. It's just a few words from Psalm 25 and verse 5. It says this: my hope is in you all day long. I'd love to feel we could almost be saying tonight that our hope is in God all year long. The sense of sustaining that sense of hope. I don't know what sort of day some of you have had. I asked one or two as you came in, how's the day been? And for some of you, you can start with a real sense of expectancy at the beginning of the day, a great sense of hope. By lunchtime, it's dwindled a bit and you're feeling a bit discouraged. And by this time of evening, you're feeling exhausted, tired, and very dispirited. What is it that keeps hope fresh in us? So it's not just a kind of up moment for the day, but, and the psalmist, when he says, my hope is in you all day long, right the way through that sense. And we just want again to sense it's that sustaining grace of God by his Spirit that makes the difference. Those words in Romans where he says, the God of hope fill you. He says that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So hope was one of the words that we felt God stirring for us at the beginning of the year. During the week of prayer and fasting, there were a number of really helpful, encouraging words. And two of those words were the words refuge and hope. In fact, if you've picked up from your seat the little soul food, then in fact, on the summer, in fact, the refuge and hope will be part of the focus that we'll be going through as part of that time, where we just focus on those words that God gave us. Firstly, with regard to refuge, that place of God's protection, not just in our own personal lives, but also we sense very much for the city and for us as church in the city. God gave a very clear prophetic word many years ago now, nearly 30 years ago now, into the city, that this city would be a city of refuge. You know how scripture speaks of the city of refuge. A place of God's justice, a place where those perhaps who are marginalized, etc., would come to find shelter and refuge. And out of that word came a whole range of amazing Christian ventures of care around the city. And when we felt that word again this year, we felt almost as if God was giving a second wave concerning that word of city of refuge. And even as the city now, the city council has called this city a city of sanctuary. And there's a sense in which we feel there's a whole range of new creative ways in which we want to be reaching the most needy and marginalized across the city. The other word was of hope. And as we've just mentioned, those words from the psalm and that sense of God's purposes for our lives. You know, hope is the very substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If we don't really hope for something, it's difficult for faith to have something to take hold of. And yet it's easy for hope to dwindle. And that thought of how do we keep hope fresh all day long? As a church, how do we all year long? So back at Vision Evening in autumn, we shared some of the things stirring for us for the church. It's great, you know, to be accountable, to reflect on some of those very things. We shared then about a sense of some of those new plantings. It's been great, particularly thought with some of the new pastorate planting, and see those grow, especially around pastorate and the whole strategy of seeing how with Alpha one could see the growth of those new pastorates and seeing new Christians nurture and develop. And it's been wonderful to see that happening. To have a sense too of how we might be reviving and networking some of the smaller existing churches around the city. And again, it's been great. It's great to see here tonight some of the folk from St. James and Loch Lees and a number of others that we've been really over these past months. Some of them really needy church situation around the city, how we could help to resource and encourage those. And then here in Woody's itself, the whole thing of how we would begin this year with multiplying those Sunday morning services. We'll hear a little bit more about it, but the remarkable way in which that's all gone so smoothly. And then we even talked about you know, an extension out the front that would be able to facilitate not only that changeover during services, but give us a further capacity and a place for other pastors as we multiply them. And, well, you can have a look outside and see how that's all happening. So things that we shared at Vision Evening back in the autumn, already it's been great to see those unfolding. And a sense of how all year long we want to sense that hope, that refreshing of God. And so we're going to be sharing tonight, particularly as we're halfway through this year now, that sense of thanksgiving to God, his goodness. Our commitment overall was to see how we grow from 1,000 to 2,000. We're now halfway there, just over 1,500. It's been wonderful to see every year, see that significant growth and see new Christians and folk discipled. And we want to keep pressing into that. So Dave's going to introduce our next little item and contribution. But before he does that, I'm just going to pray. Father, we pray now that this evening really will be a time of thanksgiving. Stir in our hearts, Lord, that kind of gratitude that shapes our attitude of life. To be able to give thanks always. May there be something stirred in us tonight in giving thanks that keeps it fresh. So that tomorrow, Lord, our hope is in you all day long. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Really, this evening, from what is, we wanted to not overload you with too much information, because we could say thank you for so many things, and it would, if we tried to be exhaustive, we'd be here all night. But what we want to do is to tell a few stories with a few different personalities that represent some of the bigger things that are going on. And I'll get Nigel to come up first of all and tell us a little bit about some of the multiple service developments and growth in church and all that kind of stuff.
Hi everyone. Well, it's really exciting to be part of the churches seeing lots of growth happen throughout the year. Very soon there's going to be some slides coming up showing you some hard stats and figures. So just for you to guess, how many people do you think, or by what percentage have we grown over the last year since we did this last year? How many leaders do you think we've got leading in the church? How many midweek groups do you think we have? So have a little think for a minute, and then when it goes up, you can find the answers. It's a little quiz. I've just put that in for you. But yeah, that'll be some of the stuff of where we can see and really mark the growth within the church. But here at Woodland Centrally, it's been really exciting that since January that we've gone from two morning services to three morning services. So our early morning service at 9 o'clock went even earlier and went to 8 o'clock. So for the super early keen people. And there's lots of them out there. So we have regularly 60 or 60 plus sort of people coming along at 8 o'clock for our really quiet, meditative, reflective service. And then we've got two other services. We started a new 9:15 service and 11 o'clock. And the 9:15 has more of a sort of children's theme to start with, sort of worship for 20 minutes or so. And again, we're having well over sort of regularly 100 plus adults with lots of kids being part of that. And then the 11 o'clock, which is similar to the 10:30 service we had, is still packed and ran with lots of people coming, and that's where devotion are part of as well. So we found it a really exciting move, having planned and prepared for it for quite a long time, just how well it seemed to go in suddenly going to three services and things. And I'm also part of newcomers as well, and part of seeing growth is many new people join the church and come to the church. And I'm actually going to just introduce you to someone who's new to the church, who's just started coming this year as part of our 9:15 service, called Fred. Now, Fred's actually here, but you'll need to shout Fred to him quite loudly. So all you need to do is go, well, after three, just shout Fred, okay? So let's give this a go. One, two, three, Fred. I think there's some prayer ministry going on at the moment there. Let's try, should we try that again? Or not try that again? One moment, just talk between yourselves. Is it not working? Okay. Here we go. Yeah, we're on now. Yeah, that's fine. Are we ready? Okay, even louder. Even louder this time. One, two, three. Oh, it's Fred. He's here. Fred, hello, Fred. How's it going?
Hello, Nigel. Yeah, it's okay, yeah.
Good. Well, it's very nice to see you, Fred. Now, Fred, we're up quite late tonight, aren't we? So we won't keep you too long. How have you found the 9:15 service?
It's good actually, Nigel.
Fred, you seem a little bit nervous. Are people not very friendly?
No, they don't look very friendly, Nigel.
Okay, well, can we all have a nice big smile for Fred? Let's try and be a bit friendly for him. He says, no, there's lots of friendly faith, that's better. Oh, phew, dear me. Well, look, Fred, we're here at our Thanksgiving service, and what we're doing is we're thanking God for all the amazing things that he's done in our church over the last year. So is there anything that you want to thank God for?
No.
Right. Well, it would be good if we try and think of something, Fred. Is there anything at all that you can thank God for? Is there what about the 9:15 service? Have you enjoyed that at all?
Oh yeah, I like the 9:15. Yeah.
Well, that's great. We can thank God for that. That's really good. What have you done at the 9:15 service?
Well, made lots of friends.
Okay.
And we've been learning about how to pray and about the Holy Spirit too. Yeah,
and you had a good time with the Holy Spirit. Fred got a bit done by the Holy Spirit a month or so ago. You went all wobbly, didn't you?
Yeah.
You really did. So we've had... Well, that's great, Fred. Actually, they're good things to thank God for. Actually, the Bible says that we should thank God for things all the time, not just once a year at a Thanksgiving service, but actually all the time, every day, thanking God for things. So actually, we can thank God for stuff right now. Why don't I pray for all of us, and we can say thank you to God for the good things he's doing. How's that sound?
That's great.
Okay, well, let's pray together, Fred. So, Lord, we want to thank you for this church. We want to thank you that lots of great things are happening, Lord. And we thank you for all the stories coming out. Thank you for the 9:15 service and the way children and families are really meeting with you. And, Lord, we want to give you the glory, God, that it's you that makes things grow. We do our bit, but you're the one who brings growth. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. A little round of applause for Fred and our friend Barbara. Bye, Fred.
Lindsay, you going to share a little bit of some hard facts for us? Where is she here? Oh, yeah, there they were. Okay, that's tough. You know, I'm really grateful for Lindsay helping us to keep track of some of those really exciting develops in terms of numbers. And one of the things that happens, you know, it's one thing to catch the fish, it's another thing to clean them. It's another thing, one thing to get people to come to a service or become part of church. It's another thing to become disciples. And Claire Thompson's very involved in discipleship and pastoral care. And she's going to reflect with us on some of the stories that have come out of that arena.
Oh, thank you. Right, who's got one of these on their seats? Well, you should, all of you have. Don't be sitting on it now. Have a little look. This, something that came out of last year was that we really felt that God was highlighting the whole area of discipleship to us and that the need to actually help people to really grow and be established as Christians. And we have a lot of people coming through the doors, but how do we actually engage people in that sometimes quite serious pursuits of following Jesus? So one of the things that we felt last year was that we needed to become a Bible reading church. And the reality is that people are reading their Bibles less and less. But we know, don't we, that for growth as Christians, we need to be able to read our Bibles. So one of the things that's come out of that this year is soul food. Who has signed up for soul food? Put your hand up. Wow, look at that. That's great. 317 people have signed up for it so far. And soul food is basically a weekly Bible reading that has been written by people in the church. Now, although my face is on there, on the website, actually, I've only written one. There are about 40 people who are on the team of writers, and there's room for more if you'd like to be part of that team. And people have just been loving writing these reflections. And what we put on your seat is a soul food taster. It's just a little appetizer. The real thing has got much more to it than that. It's a snack, okay? And you can take that one home. And if you're already signed up, give it to somebody else and challenge them to get reading their Bible. It's just a way to sort of help us read the Bible together. So very exciting. And we've got an amazing little team of people doing that. And I'm so thankful to people like Angela Mosley and my amazing sister and brother-in-law who've been doing the design and making it all happen. So that's really exciting, isn't it? I'm going to talk about something as well, just very quickly, about wholeness, which is something we mention a lot in church, but you guys, if you don't come, you never get to hear some of the most amazing stories that happen around the church, because we work very hard at wholeness to keep confidentiality. And so we hear some incredible stories of people finding new life in Jesus and finding freedom and really growing and throwing off some things that have just held them back for years and years. Some people come and say that for the first time in 20, 30 years, they've had a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus, and it's amazing and very exciting. And this year we had the most incredible wholeness. There were over 100 people on it, more than we've ever had before. And there's an amazing team of people. There's 42 people on the wholeness ministry team. And every time we do a little feedback form, the feedback forms come back with just this just amazing gratitude from the people coming along, saying how they've been ministered to by this team of people and the teaching. So we are so grateful to God. We feel like we're in on one of the secrets of the church that is going on all the time, and you really have to come along to see it. But I'm just going to get somebody up here. Come on, Denise, who's a little bit nervous, but so you've got to smile and be. She's just as nervous as Fred was, so give her a little smile. This is Denise. And Denise has actually been around this church for a lot longer than I have, but she's had a little gap, haven't you? And Denise came to this church a long time ago and was away for a long time and came back very recently to Woody's and to God, really, didn't you? Do you want to just say where you were at when you came back and really when you came on wholeness and what happened to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been away from Woodlands now for about 8, 9, probably a bit longer than that. Forever, really, it seems. And over a year ago, I just felt this real pulling again from God to come back. And my beautiful daughter basically gave me the last push I needed to come back. I guess, really, I'd never left God, but what I'd done is I'd been walking with my eyes downcast. And that's very different to looking Jesus in the eye with my life and what I'm doing and how I'm behaving. So, yeah, down, spiritually looking down. So I plucked up the courage and came back with a lot of encouragement from my daughter. And it was like coming home. And coming home here was more valid than even going home, which is really important as well. So it was an amazing thing. And I felt incredibly accepted and loved and welcomed. So right from the beginning, it felt right. And very quickly, the timing was just that there was a wholeness course not long after I returned to Woodlands. And I kind of wanted to take a new step with God and my walk with Jesus. And it was like, I'm going to have to do this. That sounds negative, but I knew that I needed kind of to look at things, and I really wanted God to help me to do that and to give me the strength to do that. So I came along and did the 6-week course, and yes, had many shocks, many surprises. Every single time was a blessing, and literally turned my life around. So whereas before then, things were very certain in normal life, but uncertain in my walk with Jesus. Some things are more uncertain now, but I'm absolutely certain in my love and God's love for me. So I thank God with all my heart and soul for calling me back. So, yeah.
That's brilliant, isn't it? So thank you, Denise. That's brilliant. Just really quickly, wholeness happens twice a year. There's a big one in the spring and a smaller one in the autumn where we look at some of the obstacles to overcoming that we need to overcome in order just to be happy, peaceful, productive, fruitful Christians. So wholeness is always going on and you're always welcome. There's also a thing called the Freedom Stream, which runs all the way through the year. It's like a year-long commitment to pursue proactively all that God has given us, and Ludo and Trish do an amazing job of running that. And just to finish, all the time we try and help people to just go through the basics of prayer ministry. So we've got prayer ministry courses happening most terms, and it's one of our real desires is to see everybody being able to minister with real confidence, being able to pray with people wherever they are, not just in church but out and about, and feel really confident that they can minister the Holy Spirit to people and see people coming into freedom. So thank you very much for all your contributions too.
Thanks, Claire. One amazing distinctive of the Woodlands Group of Churches we're celebrating is our community houses, and we've seen a number of houses come into that network, and Matt leads one of them. He's just tell you a little bit about it now.
Yeah, most of you probably know about 87 Ashley Road. I think we've got some pictures coming up here any minute. About a year ago, yeah. Keep that picture there for a minute. About a year ago, we moved into community. It was 19th of February last year, actually, so a little bit more than that. Lillian and I took it on. Now, we've had this thing about kind of community living for quite some time. It's not something we started to think about when we came to Bristol, but something that had been on our minds so often. Even when we lived in Norway, we were thinking, how can we turn our house into a bit more of a house for all of our neighbours? So we made a decision never to lock our front door when we were in Norway. You don't really need to there anyway, but it just led to people wandering into our house and feeling like it was home quite often. When we came to Bristol and hooked up with Woodlands and found out that everybody was kind of living in community, well, not really, but you kind of get that sense, we started to think, right, we would like to do this as well. So I said to Lillian one morning over breakfast, I'm going to go and look for a house with 6 or 7 bedrooms and see if we can rent it. And that morning I had a phone call from Greg and Claire, and they said, we've got this house that's we've just bought on in an auction, and would you like to come and have a look at it? And we went down, and what met us was, you know, actually that's quite long on in the process there, but that door with the "you would die if you enter here or if you don't leave," that's into our kind of bedroom area, family bedroom area. It's been fine. We've had a guinea pig that's died, but apart from that, we're all still alive. It's just great. We've just seen this amazing year of creating home in a community environment, and it's difficult when you're standing on a platform with a microphone talking about it. It sounds like it's a great ministry. It's just life. It's just doing life with other people, sharing life with other people. We lead the house on values and not rules. We value hospitality. We've got all kinds of things that we. There's Carly's office in the corner there. Now, flick back to the previous picture. That is the lounge after we've been in there for a few days messing about. Now, the whole house kind of looked a little bit like that, apart from we'd torn down a couple of walls there. But the next picture on, that's what it looks like now. Now, it doesn't always look like it's a chapel. There's a story here. We had a wedding at 87. It was for Darren and Eva. They got married in Australia, decided to get married again when they came back to England. And we hosted the whole thing. 87. Now, for me, it was quite an emotional day. I was kind of holding back the tears all day because I know what this house has been. It had been a crack den. It had been people were just taking drugs in there. When we started to work on the place, one of the first things we did was clear out a bucket of hypodermic needles that had been left in there. And one day when we were cleaning, after we'd moved in, Lillian was dusting up on this kind of dado rail thing. She brushed over it and another needle fell down onto the floor. And we were like, it's just a reminder of what this place used to be. The neighbor, Dylan, you may know Dylan. He, quite a few years back, he lives next door in one of the flats. And God had woken him up and said, I want you to go and anoint the whole place with holy water. So he filled up a bucket of water and just threw water around in the backyard. It sounds terribly odd, but it was one of those things where God had just led him to do something. This is another picture from the wedding. We've got other pictures where it's all boarded up with big metal shutters, and it's just become this place where it's a living example of God's kingdom breaking out in a neighborhood. And it's absolutely, you know, it's totally fantastic to be a part of it. It's totally inspiring, but it's also just home. You know, it really is. I used to be very challenged by the, you know, in Acts 4 where it says all the believers shared everything in common. And it seems that off the back of that, kind of God seemed to break out in power when people got to that place. It seemed that after, whenever it talks like that in Acts, then kind of things happened. God did things. I'm thinking, is this possible for everybody to live like this? Not everybody to move into community, but everybody to treat their homes and have a little less ownership over their own things and say, actually, we as people, as Christians, we belong to the world around us. What we have belongs to the world around us. And sowing their lives into our city, into our neighbourhoods. You don't have to have a 20-bedroom house to do that. You can do that with three bedrooms. It's just about sharing. So just a really quick snapshot. It's been a fantastic year, and we've met some lovely people, and some great things have happened in the house. So there it is.
We would like everybody to consider their home a place of ministry, whether you're living just as a couple, whatever. Yeah, Philip's going to come and share a bit with us now.
Thanks, Dave. Rob mentioned earlier about planting church and giving people who are not part of church the best chance possible of coming to faith. And just this last few months, I've been involved with a pastorate called Bridge. A whole bunch of them are there on the front row. And it has been, without doubt, one of the most exciting and encouraging phases of my life and ministry to date. It's been a wonderful thing. We've been very simple about this. In fact, Rob challenged me a few months ago to get on and do something and to get involved with people's lives and grow a pastorate from scratch. And so I went along. Rachel allowed me to be an Alpha group leader at Alpha. We started Alpha just last year in October and met a group there. I was just one of the hosts, and we've been on a journey together. I'd like to introduce you to one of the guys. You've seen his face already up here. He's desperately embarrassed about that whole thing. But ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to the stage Mr. Dave Major. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks.
Bit nervous?
A little bit, maybe.
Think you can do better than the puppet?
I don't know. I think I might be upstaged.
I think we're all upstaged by the puppet. Dave, tell me a little bit about who you are, what you do.
I was a lawyer for about 10 years. Gave that up about a year and a half ago. Just run my own business now.
Okay, so self-made man. What was your attitude towards God, towards church, say, growing up and in adult life?
Yeah, I guess my experience was as a child, maybe going to church, the local village church, once or twice a year maybe, and I kind of grew away from that. So church really played no part at all in my life from maybe early teens onwards, up until maybe about a year or so ago.
Did you believe in God?
I would say no. I don't know whether I was an agnostic or atheist, but certainly wouldn't class myself as someone who believes in God, no.
So you came to Alpha last October, which is, what, about 9-10 months ago. What was it that brought you to Alpha, and how did you find it?
I guess I was at a difficult phase in my life. I had a lot of questions about where I was going with my life. I think my wife was probably, Jess was probably in the same sort of situation. She talked about going to Alpha for a while, and I think she just looked it up on the internet, found the Alpha at Woodlands, and thought that's an opportunity to do it.
Fantastic. So going through Alpha and then coming out of Alpha and joining Bridge Pastorate, what was that like?
It was a fantastic experience because we'd had such a great experience on Alpha. It was such an amazing journey. I think if it had finished with Alpha, it would have been much harder to carry that journey on. I think having Bridge to move into was a natural transition, and it just enabled us to have that place where we could continue that journey.
Okay, so you came to church having been an atheist / agnostic in October, finished Alpha in December, started Bridge in January, and in April you got baptized. How was that?
It was a great experience. It was kind of scary. It felt like a really big step for me at the time, but at the same time, it felt like a kind of natural step as well, something that I felt that I was ready for. It's something that I'm really pleased that I did, because I think it hasn't changed anything necessarily. I suppose it's just cemented where I am, where I feel I am in terms of my faith journey. And kind of given me a real inspiration to move forward with that.
Fantastic. Now, you have also, this may come as a surprise, you've also been a home group leader, leading a home group in your house for the last 3 months. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, again, that has been a fantastic experience. We've got a great group of people in that group. I think we've, you know, we've formed some fantastic friendships in that group. It's enabled us to have a forum where we can share things. We can share our life experiences, the good things, the bad things that are going on for us, and to share our faith journeys as well. And again, having that place to do that is, I think, just invaluable.
So if someone would have said to you a year ago, this time in June 2012, you'll be a Christian believing in God, baptized, leading a group in your home, and an active leader in a church like Woodlands, what would you have said to them?
Yeah, I probably would have said they were a crazy person. But yeah, and I look back and I'm as amazed as probably a lot of other people are about the journey that I've been on over the last year or so and where I am now. But it feels natural. It feels really good. It feels like I'm in a good place.
Fantastic. Let's pray for Dave. That's clapping, not praying. No, you deserve it. Lord, I thank you so much for Dave. I thank you for Jess. And I thank you for all the guys in Bridge that have come into church, have found you. And I want to pray your blessing upon them. Establish them in the faith. Build them up in your love. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, that they may go from strength to strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. We have now two groups in Bridge. Dave and Jess lead one. Kate and I lead another. That's a couple dozen people. And we're already running another alpha group in the home. And the plan is that by this time next year, Bridge will be two pastorates. And that we will be twice our size. But it's simply a matter of discovering that people are hungry for spiritual reality. People are asking questions. People are looking for answers. And all we need to do is position ourselves, inconvenience ourselves, and give people a place where they can come and go on their journey. Here's some stats about Alpha to round up. We have 240 people who've attended Alpha over these last 12 months. 60% of those have attended four or more sessions. 10% of them have been students. 10% are international students from Beacons. And 25% of them are now members of this church. In fact, that's a conservative estimate. We've had 40 group hosts leading 20 small groups with 30 volunteers. And right now, happening, there are seven summer alphas. Six of them are happening in homes, and one of them is happening in the Sea Mills Cafe that you'll see and hear a little bit about later on. So it's an amazing thing, and I would really encourage you to volunteer. Come and join us. Do an evening. You get a free meal. It's fantastic. Quickly, before I hand on, Love Running. Love Running also happened this year. We've been doing it every other year. And it's been incredible. Plenty of stories behind the statistics. But just to say that the bold statistics are that 493 runners took part this year. We have raised so far over 90,000. Over. How? Where do you think it's going to go, Ed? He's not going to say. But he's pretty sure that it's creeping towards the 100,000 mark. Yeah. Which... This year we've broadened it out. We've had more churches involved than ever before. But Woodlands has actually been the vast majority of people taking part. 40% of people doing Love Running are in their teens or in their 20s, which is an amazing statistic. 11% of all those that did Love Running, about 55 people, are totally unchurched, have no church affiliation. And many of them have actually gone and joined us. In fact, a couple of them are in my alpha course. We're running a Love Running alpha course. 53% to 47% female-male split. And I told the running guys about that, and they said, that is, you have a higher male percentage in your church running group than we have across the board running, which is very interesting. But also to note that Love Running is now spreading all over the world. There's Love Running happening in Adelaide, Australia. Love Running is happening in South Africa, in Pretoria. It's happening in Manchester. In fact, they ran on the very same day as we did this year and raising for some of the same causes. It's also been happening in London. People in Cardiff are wanting to do the next one in September. And World Vision and Tear Fund are looking for this to be a major part of their national strategy in helping churches engage with fitness, their community, the poor, the oppressed, and the needy. So we have a lot to thank God for.
One of our values at Woodlands is that everyone's a minister. I just invite my friend Val Peel to come up in a moment. And also Greg Thompson, Dave Gill, if you could all make your way up the front. Do you mind? I think that, you know, Woodlands is a big church. Val, where are you? There you are, come on. And some people can think that the energy and the life is in the big gatherings. But I think that the energy is in the, at least as much, is and probably should be more in the small, in the out. Here's, but you talk about every member minister. Here's Val, he's one of my best ministers. Val, come over here. I deliberately wanted to ask Val to tell her story. She told us this story on Monday, and we sometimes have an impression of what, you know, a successful Christian minister at Woodlands Church looks like, and obviously they look a little bit like Greg Thompson, you know. But so Val, when you arrived in Bristol, why did you come here?
Well, to be near my family.
Okay. I remember when you first arrived at Woodlands, your daughter brought you to church. You were very withdrawn, perhaps not really, didn't feel very well. You very did.
No, I was very mentally unstable, really, you could say, I suppose. But Woody's and my daughter and the home I live in have put me back on my feet.
Okay, so you had to go into residential care. Now, just tell me, how do you try and serve the Lord in residential care?
Well, I started out when I became well again, that I said to Carolyn, the manageress, I wanted to start a prayer group, you see, and I had in mind that the staff would meet with me and we'd pray about the home and everything that's going on. And then she didn't say anything for a while, and I thought it was very good of her. She said, would I like to pray for the residents? So I've been doing that now, and she said, would I like to do it after tea on a Tuesday, which I've been doing for the last 3 years, I suppose it is now.
So what do you do and who comes along?
Well, they're all sitting ducks, the people that are there. They don't have much opportunity. Well, they can actually go. Some people say, oh, I can't stand that. What's she going to do now? And they'd leave, you know, and go away. But on the whole, people, they just love it. They just like the stories that I read. And they like me going around and praying for them. And they think it's a lot. They say, it's Val's prayer evening tonight. So we'll come and have tea and see Val. So it's great, you know. It's just God, you know. It's nothing to do with me. It's all to do with him. And he just blesses me there. And you know, now so many people are coming to the home because Dave's mum's there. And it's just... You know, it's just growing like Topsy. It's wonderful. It's just amazing.
Thank you very much, Val. Val does all sorts in the church, but she's kind of read all the Bible stories to all the residents and prays them. It's fantastic. It's been great this year to... And we've always been friends, and we've always kept praying for one another and working together. But this year to see the integration of St. James, which has been a bit of a journey. Just tell us a bit about that journey, what that means to you, Dave.
Well, it's been a journey. I suppose this time last year, Dave said we should maybe start sort of a courtship.
Hooray, missus.
And we got to the stage where Dave said, well, we're kind of doing a little bit more than holding hands. I shall go no further. And we decided it felt the right thing to do that we'd become a full sort of Woodies church, which is so encouraging for us. Is, you know, if for those of you who don't know where Lockleys is, if you look for the police helicopter, we're kind of there. It's a great estate, and it's great to see the things that are kind of happening in Lockleys. You know, Dave said to me, churches that have stuff to do with Woodies tend to grow, and personally I can testify to that. But also the fact that, you know, in the last couple of weeks we've seen a few people come to faith and start coming to church, which is pretty cool, really. So I'm really encouraged, and I believe that it's all kind of... You know, it's all kind of linked in. I hope next year we'll be able to kind of have some stats up there as well. We're starting a new project at the back of the church. We have some land at the back of the church, which We are teaching children to shoot and have knives and fires and strip guns and stuff. So hopefully there'll be positive stats and we'll be able to say nobody's died. We've taught this many children to stand up. None of that. But yeah, we are going to do that kind of stuff.
And you're going to do it on your own public liability. around the city, in pastorates, in urban mission partnerships, in expressive church like St. James, like Love Bristol, really, there are things happening that are affecting our city, and there's some fantastic stories. It's been great to see. Could we have the umps? There's just some of the kind of around the city things that are going on. Thrive over in Barton Hill, they're taking a whole bunch of young people to Soul Survivor this year. It's great to be involved with them, with the noise at Barton Hill for the first time. It's been great to see what Susie and Zoe are sitting over there doing, and Susie has baptised a couple of people in recent weeks, and that's been thrilling to see that go on. A whole lot of stuff happening. But one of the things where a lot happens in a very kind of focused heart for God, let's see what we can do, is through the work of Love Bristol around Stokes Croft and wider. Just Greg, just one or two little stories from Love Bristol.
I was just thinking, as Dave was saying about the helicopter, it was just over a year ago, Stokes Croft was just post sort of riots, and then we had another one in August. So in the context of all of that, we feel, I think, that God has placed us sort of right in the middle, right in the thick of stuff down there. And I think at times that has been very hard, and at other times it's been really felt wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And I think at the moment we're just feeling a little bit that we're in a season where there's quite a lot of fruit, and it just feels really amazing to be part of what God's doing. So a couple of the things that we've done or that have happened in the last year. One of them is that about a year ago, just over a year ago, we started in Love Bristol a little charity shop called Treasure Stokes Croft, and it went really well. It was a vintage charity shop, and Katie Brooker is the entrepreneur behind it and running it. It's done an amazing job. And there's a couple of reasons why it's a real blessing. It's a real blessing to the area because people can volunteer and get to know guys around Love Bristol. We have quite a good relationship, or Katie does, with the probation hostel that backs onto the shop. We get quite a lot of volunteers coming in through that. And actually one of the guys has recently given his life to God last week, who's come via that route. So that's been a real blessing and really significant to him. The other reason it's a blessing is that all the funds that are being raised are going to go back into Stokes Croft. So we've hoping to give away £10,000 this year, and a third of it will be into hardship. We're working with the Bristol Credit Union, and they're handling all the finances, but we're going to give a third to hardship, a third to microfinance, and a third to arts and community grants. So that's something that's really good, and again, feeling really blessed. That's just about to start giving out the money in a month. Another thing we've done is a bakery. Totally mad. Anyone who knows me, who lives with me, knows I'm not really into cooking. But we've ended up running this bakery. And there's a couple of prophetic words about 2 years ago. And we do love our prophetic words in Love Bristol. And so we went after it a bit. And then last year, as we were digging a massive hole in the back garden of 1B, 200 tons of soil we got out of there, a couple of people from the community came and said to us, why don't you open a bakery? In the same week, two people. Never before, never afterwards, but two people came up and while I was there. So again, just, you know, as we are, we kind of felt that was significant, and we've been pursuing it ever since. Managed to get second or third best baker in the country to help us set it up, and it's been running for about 3 or 4 months. So it's an eventful adventure, but it is great. It's a real hub for the community. People have walked up to us in the street and said, we're so pleased you've opened a bakery. It's a really great response to what's been going on with all the riots and everything else down there to have been able to do that. And then the third thing is that we last year managed to pull together the first Festival of Literature for Bristol. And again, someone in Bristol came up with this idea as a writer. said, wouldn't it be great to do this? We thought, oh, yeah, well, maybe we should. And we kind of went through it, and we ended up with 1,000 people coming to it and 50 events. And, again, it's just like I could never have done that. Again, I'm not a great reader, but someone came up with the idea, and somehow it happened. And just seeing God popping up all through those events was just a real blessing to be a part of that. And this week, tomorrow night, we're baptizing someone in the back garden of 1B. Again, someone who's just come off the street, moved into 1B, and has given his life to God. So it feels really rewarding, and I just feel really thankful about that. And yeah, that's what we're doing.
Brilliant. I haven't got time to celebrate all the work with children and young people, with students, but all those kind of growing ministries. But what we're going to do is get a snapshot around the church year with a video now. So maybe just like to stand up, turn around, sit down, we'll switch straight into the video.
Brilliant. Thank you, Christoph. That was fantastic, wasn't it? Hi, I'm Deborah. I, together with my husband Ed, we lead the High Grove congregation based in Seamills. And I just want to talk a little bit about community. I think community is fantastic. We've already talked a little bit about community housing, but community is great, isn't it? And in our society where isolation seems to be more prevalent, where self-preservation is more obvious, it actually feels like quite a privilege to be part of community. And it's something that I'm really, really thankful for. And as a group of churches, we want to be salt and light to our community, to our city. And in the communities that we're part of, whether it's a geographical community like Fishponds or Southmead or Hartcliffe or Seamills, or whether it's a workplace community, such as you work in an office or work in a school, work in university, we want to be a salt and light. We want to be a real blessing to our communities. We want to really get stuck in. And I know that lots of people across our group of churches serve amazingly around the community, around the city, whether it's running local toddler groups, whether it's being a school governor, whether it's leading a local charity. There's lots of opportunities and lots of ways that our church just really gets stuck in and blesses their communities. But what I find really encouraging, I was just thinking about this a little bit recently, is when different parts of our church, different parts of our community all sort of work together, where it all gels together, where it all interacts. And I've been thinking about this and thinking it's a little bit like a spider's web. That's a very pretty picture of a spider's web I found. You know, all the individual strands of a spider's web, and actually they're quite weak, but when they pull together, when they're all connected together, then there's strength, there's effectiveness, and actually there's real beauty. And, you know, I think it's a little bit like that when the church works together in community. It might seem like you're just having a conversation over here, and there's a chance meeting over there, a relationship formed at one point, an event at another that you've invited somebody along to. But because the Holy Spirit is at work, then it all works together to create something strong and cohesive and actually quite beautiful. And it's great on an evening like this just to stand back and look at the whole picture. We often just see a little part. We just see what's happening in our own lives. But it's great to stand back and as church really look at how we affect our communities, how we affect this whole city. And in Seamills particularly, over the last few months, we've had a really amazing opportunity to really sort of draw together all parts of our community in the transformation of our local derelict toilet block. There it is, not very pretty, which is right sort of at the centre of Seamills. And we've transformed it into now a beautiful, albeit bijou, cafe on the square. And it's been quite an event. It's quite been quite a road and a sort of a journey that we've been on. But I just want to introduce you to Heidi. Heidi, she does deserve a clap, actually. Heidi manages the cafe and really sort of heads up the ministry that that happens there. So I'm just going to ask Heidi just a little bit, just a few questions, really. Is that all right? I'm sorry. Heidi, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how, you know, tell us a little bit about who you are, how you ended up managing the cafe.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Yes, I'm Heidi. I'm married. I've been with my husband for 20 years, and we have three wonderful children. And we live in Coombe Dingle, which is sort of North Sea Mills. A little bit about myself. I started work at 13, earning my own money, and I ran a market stall every weekend, selling sort of, you know, Bridget Jones-style pants and Illuminous leg warmers, corsets, other random things. That was how I started my working life. So it was a good job. I enjoyed it, but it never really gave me any fulfillment. And then I kind of just, you know, went through GCSEs, A-levels, that kind of thing. I didn't go to university because when I was a teenager, I used to suffer from sort of crippling panic attacks, which meant that I didn't like doing things like this at all. In fact, if anybody spoke to me, it would be the end of the world for me. It meant that I then took lots of jobs for the next 15 years that had really no direction and I wasn't really very fulfilled by. But the one thing that I did always want to do was run a cafe, bizarrely. But I did have visions of it being a sort of a thatched village, maybe in the Cotswolds, a little tea shop, something very nice with teapots and doilies and that kind of thing. We don't have the picture up there now, but we have Cafe on the Square, so that's fabulous. I came to manage the cafe basically by trusting in God. And I have no cafe experience whatsoever. My jobs over the last 15 years vary from working in a slaughterhouse to selling garden gnomes. I've managed a tile house. I've done data entry. I've been a cleaner, waitress, all kinds of things. Yes, my only cafe experience was dropping a gatto on a man's foot in a pub. And that was it. That was actually my waitressing job. So about a year ago, I started to, you know, when everybody kind of started talking about the cafe and the opportunity that we were going to have, I started to think, oh, a cafe on my doorstep, that would be nice. I really love cake. And that was my initial thought. And then I thought, oh, maybe I could get involved. So I joined one of the working parties to put together the menu and that kind of thing. And then I started to just think a little bit more about it and wonder if I could be involved in a more, just in a better way, in a more full way. And God just took my hand and led me down the path. And like I say, I had no experience whatsoever. It's been a monstrous learning curve. And he has just really set me in good stead. He's nurtured me the whole way and equipped me for the job. And I'm very grateful for that.
Brilliant. Tell us a little bit about what happens in the cafe, sort of on a day-to-day or in a week.
There's a lot of cake eating, and it's not all me. We welcome lots of different people to the cafe. We pray in the cafe for various people, all kinds of people who come in, but also for volunteers as well, because they need support and ministry as well. And we are very lucky to have a really wonderful bunch of volunteers who come and give their time really generously from all sectors of the community. They're young people from 18 right up to a lady who came and helped me wash up the other day, who was 88 and really helped me out. And yeah, it's, you know, they're people from, there's sort of 7 or 8 churches represented across North Bristol, which is where we draw most of our volunteers from. But more and more we're finding that people from the local community come in and just, you know, get a feel for the place and realise that they want to be a part of it, and they volunteer as well. And we've got probably, I don't know, 25-30% of people now are actually non-church members. So yeah, it's absolutely fab.
Brilliant. It has, like I say, it's been quite a journey, and it has been quite a lot of hard work over the last 7 months. But tell us a couple of highlights, maybe.
Well, a highlight was last month. Princess Anne came, which is really weird. Princess Anne came to our cafe in Sea Mills and chatted and drank her double espresso. We still have the cup, and we do. And yeah, that was amazing to meet her. It just felt like such a recognition of all the hard work that all the committee and the volunteers and people over several years have put in to getting this up and running. And that was a real highlight. And Easter on the Square was another one that I can think of as well, which was fabulous. Being as I say, no cafe experience whatsoever, I had no clue whether we were going to be busy on that day, and we were crazily busy. And people just came out the woodwork and cleared tables and came and washed up and just did whatever it took to get the place clean and tidy. And that was absolutely amazing. It just felt like we were such a huge part of the community and accepted.
Brilliant. Tell us a story or two about people who perhaps come in the cafe and who's sort of met with God through the cafe being where it is.
Jeff springs to mind. He's a guy who first started coming in about 3 months ago. He's a really lovely guy. I wouldn't like to guess whether he's homeless or not, but I think he probably is. And he comes in and he always has a cup of tea in a blue mug and reads his newspaper for an hour, sat in the window. And he was reticent at first to actually speak at all. And now he's started to, you know, just pass the time of day and have a chat and that kind of thing. And another guy who's come in, and actually our assistant manager, Mike, managed to pray with him and prayed with him for quite a lengthy period of time, about 45 minutes. And he comes in at least 3 times a week now, and is just a very nice guy. And yeah, there are countless other people. Gladys is another. She's 88, and she says that it's her home from home. She comes every day with her little tripod walkie thing, and brings in random people. She met a woman on the bus the other day and said, "I'm off to the cafe on the square." And she said, "Have you ever been?" And this woman said, "No." And she said, "Well, come with me. I'm going to buy you a cappuccino." So she's amazing and one of our biggest supporters.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Heidi. It's been there. We're really grateful for Heidi. We're really grateful for all the volunteers and all the team who serve in the cafe. And we're really grateful for all the different teams in Highgrove as well, all the ways that they support all the different community activities in our area as well.
Great. Thanks, Deborah. Okay, we're almost there. Community Church, just two short stories from us at Community Church. It's really exciting to see what God's doing. You may know that we're endeavouring to care for both the middle class part of town, Henleys and Westbury, as well as one of the more urban challenging areas of Southmead. And so just two stories from us. First, I'm going to get Trenor to come and just tell us a bit about Reach, because when the church first started, working with single parents and their families was something that we really wanted to do. Single Parents Fair, we had our fourth one this year, but Trenor, together with her husband Ian and her three boys, live in Southmead. And Trenor, do you want to tell us a bit about Reach Cafe that started up kind of this last year?
So Reach came out of our relationships with the single parents that we had met at the fair 4 years ago. And It's now become a cafe every week on a Thursday afternoon at the Greenway Centre after school, and it's for families that live in the community and for the local schools particularly, to try and encourage children to come and get homework done. And there'll be some pictures up there. I didn't know these were going to happen, which is great. But I'm going to get Lorna to come up if she wants to still. And her three kids will be very, very quick, I promise.
Let's get a round of applause, please, guys. Come on. Come on.
So I think, yeah, we met Lorna at one of the single parents' fairs, and Reach was a monthly trip and a monthly craft morning and coffee morning, and we really got to know Lorna when we left her behind at Noah's Ark on the coat. We 5 minutes after we left Noah's Ark, I suddenly sat bolt upright in the coach and thought, Lorna! she'd gone through the Tigers with Danielle. But we've got to know you quite well, I think, over the last few years. And I'm just going to ask Lorna a few questions. So, Lorna, why do you come to the Reach Cafe on a Thursday afternoon?
We really enjoy it. I've got to meet some lovely people. It's got me to learn more about Jesus and church. It encourages...
Why has it got you to learn more about Jesus and church?
Other people about it, and it helps me understand. It's more so for the children. They're encouraged to do their homework, and they learn different crafts and food. I like it.
We're very well rehearsed.
Oh my God. I'm a volunteer and shut up. And I help people with their homework and help serve food. Yeah.
Yeah. Go on then. So it's great. This is Thursday afternoons is great fun. I have got my grey hairs from Reach Cafe on a Thursday afternoon because it is hard work, it's hard graft, but we have got some wonderful, wonderful friendships, and that's our motivation really, is to kind of meet local people in the community and just rub shoulders with them and help them with homework, and we have a good healthy meal at the end, and it's good. I'm going to sit down. I don't have any stats. So, except that it's overrun by children.
Wonderful. I mean, it's been fantastic to meet some lovely families from the community of Southmead, and the Reach Cafe and the team there. There's a toddler group that Trent helps run as well for some of the local mums, and some great things. The other community is West Beyond Trim, and Joe runs something called Friday Life. When people become Christians, sometimes their partners and their husbands don't like them coming out on Sundays to church. So Joe had a really cunning idea. Joe, don't tell us about Friday Life.
Yeah, so we ran an alpha course with the IMPS, which is our toddler group. And at the end of the alpha course, they wanted to carry on. But Sundays were sort of ruled out. That was family time. So what we did was we started a group called Friday Life. And we have time of worship. We study. We don't sing. That's the only thing. They said, we can't sing, so we're not singing. But we're very creative in our ways of worshipping. And then we're studying various books of the Bible and praying together. But it's just a beautiful time, really, of a group of women coming together. And it's grown, and we've run another alpha course, and more people have joined in. Tim said, can you tell a story from it? And really, there's just one general story, and that is that every Friday God turns up, without fail. And yeah. And there are three of us who run it, and we are blessed as much as anybody else who's there. And, you know, they're from all walks of life, and quite some going through really hard times. But it is just beautiful how they just love coming and they go out and they feel that they can face their weekend and they can face the week ahead of them. And this is just a couple of quotes from some of the women who come. Friday life is my little bit of heaven in an otherwise frantic week. You know, that's somebody who's really struggling in life and really tough time. But that's what Friday life and that's what God does on a Friday for her. And somebody else says this. It's an oasis of calm and reflection in my otherwise busy week. And I'm grateful for the time and support Friday life affords to my relationship with God. So it's just an amazing blessing, and it's a link between the toddler group and people coming. It's a big step to go to church, and so it's a great link for them. And also, we've now got people from the school who are coming, the local school, are coming to it as well. And so it's just a lovely blessing.
Fantastic. Thanks, Mr. Joe. We've just, as we're kind of growing, we've just started pastorates up at the community as well, so it's fantastic to have a pastor at Southmead and a junction pastor at the meets in Westbury. Just before I hand over to Ed to talk money, I suppose if we're meeting this evening to say thank you to God, we want to say thank you to God for things that aren't just to do with our communities here in Bristol, because there's some wonderful people within our church who are serving God overseas. And we just want to give a thank you to them and for people who've made some sacrificial choices and who've gone abroad. It's great to have Barry and Cheryl Wells back from Togo working on mercy ships. They're here. You want to give us a little wave, Barry and Cheryl? Quite a long-term commitment over the last 3 years to working with Mercy Ships. Over the Global Partnership weekend, it was fantastic to have 10 or so of our global partners that came back here for the weekend, where we heard things about their experiences, take a chance to pray with them. So we're genuinely thankful. There's been some great short-term trips as well, short-term mission trips. Going over to see Xiaomi and Dennis over in Peru. In fact, this afternoon I dropped my eldest son at Heathrow Airport, and he's on the plane at this very moment to Kenya, where he's going to spend 7 weeks with a little primary school in Nakuru, doing a short-term mission outreach. And it's been fantastic to see so many people who've thought, you know what, I could use some of my time, some of my gifts, some of my energy to serve, not just in this country, but around the world. I'm going to get Lydia to come up here. Lydia's been part of the foundation team, and again, we want to say a really big thank you to the foundation team. They've been serving us across the congregations. Part of what we did for the foundation team is that we went on a short-term mission trip to Romania. And Lydia, do you want to tell us about your experience of what it was like being on a short-term mission trip and in Romania?
The trip to Romania was a very positive experience, also quite an eye-opening experience for me. One of the things, a really challenging but also inspiring experience, was we went to the home of a Romanian guy. I have to confess I've forgotten his name. And due to it being a communist state and then the fall of communism, for the older generation, they don't have a pension. So often when they retire, they just have no money and often end up on the streets or in really poor accommodation. One lady we met ended up living under the stairs in her flat just because she had no money. So we went to this guy's house, and it was a two-story house, but the top story had just completely fallen in due to flooding, and the bottom floor had about 5 rooms, but he lived in only 2 rooms. So all his stuff was shoved into these 2 rooms, and it was damp, it was leaking, it was moldy, it was disgusting, to be honest. And this guy started talking about his life, and he was saying about the fact it hadn't always been like this, but now, due to circumstances, it was. He had 4 children, and they wanted nothing to do with him, had completely deserted him. But then he just said, "But I'm so happy because I know God loves me, and I'm really thankful for that." And I think that just hit me, just how lucky I am, how blessed I am. And if the tables were turned, if I was in his position, would I be able to say the same thing? And I hope that I'll always take that into my future, that when things aren't going well, that I'll still be able to say, I know God loves me and I'm thankful. So yeah, really positive experience.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. I think it's true, both going on short-term missions, not only do we hope there's some good done to the people there, but actually it does us good and it transforms and changes us. And it's been fantastic to see the work that particularly Johnny and the Global Partnership team have been putting in with the Kairos course, that's been doing some training. It's been great, some of the prayer activities that have been happening monthly. In fact, there was one this week, next Monday, there was some prayer time. And it's been great to see the way that through the Global Partnerships, things have been happening. So why not pray or give or go? Because we live in a world where we don't just want to see God doing things here, but see God doing things internationally. Great. Thanks so much, Ed.
Thanks, Tim. It's my job just in a few minutes to keep you alert. In fact, to bring the Thanksgiving to a crescendo with the subject of finance. Is it possible? We've had a chance to thank God for an awful lot of stuff tonight, to celebrate all that God's been doing. And I think it's appropriate as we do that to also take a chance to thank God for the resources that have enabled all of that to happen. And you will have received, hopefully, earlier on in the year, this email from me that's just appearing on the screen now. And it might not have looked exactly like that, but we sent that around about Stewardship Sunday, that opportunity for us to think about our stewardship, actually to review, take a chance to prayerfully review what are we giving, what are we saving, what are we spending. And one thing we said in that email is actually we pointed towards tonight and said actually as a church as well, as trustees and as leaders, we also need to take a chance to be to review that stewardship and to be accountable to you for your generous giving and the way in which that has been stewarded. In a wider sense, not only are we accountable, in this setting now, but also we have that wider framework of public accountability that we need to sort of live in and be in. Just this next slide will show you, that we're a registered charity. We need to comply with all sorts of different areas of charity law, we take those responsibilities very, very seriously indeed. Our full annual accounts, which are 29 pages long, which mostly words, I promise, a few numbers, but no pictures at all. Sorry about that. They are independently audited. In fact, that's just been done now. And those are available for all the public to see. So just to say to you, what I'm going to do now is present to you just some very, very simplified accounts, which hopefully are going to be helpful and not too overwhelming. But if you're someone who eats this stuff for breakfast, lunch and supper and want to know a bit more, just encourage you to go and have a look at those full accounts where a fuller story is told. So fasten your seatbelts and we're going to dive in to looking at this. So firstly, we're going to just look at income. I don't know how used you are to looking at accounts, but just on the left-hand side there is the year that we're looking at, which is the year ended 31st of March 2012, and the figures on the right are the prior year. And, as with any church, by far the most significant source of income for us is people's faithful giving. In response to all that God has done in their lives, in response to that call to discipleship. And we want to say again this evening, just as we say thanks to God, to say thanks to you for your faithfulness in giving. It is so amazing to see the way in which people are responding to what God is doing in so many different ways. The top line there of those figures is a really key measure for us as leaders and as trustees. We appreciate and we value all the giving that goes on of time, of money, of efforts and energies. But those that give regularly and consistently by standing order through regular giving, it really helps us to plan for the future. It really helps us as well to gauge people's commitment to church and people's sort of ownership of the vision of the church. So we're really very, very grateful. And to see this year, just as earlier on when that slide was up when Nigel was speaking, that the growth in committed adults part of church grown by 7%. It's great to see our giving, regular giving, grow by 8% this year to match that that growth in numbers. And that's a really encouraging picture. The second line there, other giving, just includes all the other sorts and forms of giving that there are, which are significant. So whether it's our offerings on a second Sunday of the month, whether it's other sort of ad hoc giving that goes on from time to time. And we've then also sort of separated there a little bit below some of those exceptional one-off things last year that sort of throw it all out a bit. So in particular, Love Running 2010 was in last year's numbers, and to see what was raised there, I've separated it out so you can see that separately. And also where we received some very significant, so over £20,000 each, we received some large earmark gifts for local and global situations. Again, just pulling those out just to show you what the sort of comparison there, those that not been repeated this year. And just to say to you, thank you for all of you who fill out gift aid declarations and use gift aid envelopes. That makes a huge, huge difference to the income that we get as church and is able to achieve so much. So if you're not a person who does that, do have a little look at the website and find out more. Also, just like to say to you, if you don't currently give to the church, I just want to encourage you not to miss out on what God is doing, to not miss out on being part of the story through giving. And we're putting quite a lot of effort in over this next year to make it easier for people to give, to other ways in which you can get involved by giving. So it makes it slightly easier, the process and the mechanism. The website is a great place to start in trying to find that out. And one thing, just as we're reflecting as leaders about tonight, one message particularly wanted to bring is to say that we very much recognise that there's a heap of giving, financial giving, that goes on, maybe that actually doesn't come through the church or go to the church. Actually, there's lots of commitments to other charities and other great causes that go on, particularly as well. There's commitment to other charities and causes that are actually very close to our hearts. And really just to say to you tonight that actually in our support of those charities and what they do, to say to you, actually, if you would appreciate a chance to add your support to our support by letting us add that to the gift that we give, then actually there's something about us all being able to share in that. And if you'd like to find out a little bit more about that, do ask me afterwards. If you haven't got a clue what I just said and would like to know, find out about that afterwards as well. Finally, on this slide, just at the bottom, just a couple of other sources of income we've got as well, from rental income and also a portion of our interest income as well. And we, by policy over a number of years, have allocated that funding directly to the Future Development Fund, which I'll mention in a minute. Now, Tim always says to me, he says Ed, in fact, he doesn't say Tim. He'll be talking to himself, and he doesn't do that very often. He says, give us a picture. I want a picture. So this is my token picture here. And what this is showing is that if our giving income, we feel it important that we want to be accountable for people's giving. So if people's if our income from people's giving, how have we used that this year? And this is a reasonably simplistic representation of that. And you can see lots of different areas there, global partnerships. City and community outreach, you might not be able to even read it even, but gathered church, children and youth, students, teaching and discipleship, pastoral care, and then some setting aside for our future plans. And also, we've been able to, this year in particular, increase our sort of the way in which we bless ministries and situations by loaning them money, and those funds are doing some good. I'm less of a visual person. I'm more of a numbers person. So we'll get onto the numbers. Pie charts just make me want to eat pizza. Is it just me? I don't know. Anyway, there's the numbers following that. Just have a little trace down again. The numbers this year on the left, if you can see them. Numbers on the right last year. And then there's some percentages there. So what percentage of our giving income did we spend on each of those areas? If you are struggling to see any of these numbers, by the way, there are some copies of these slides available on your way out. So do take one of those with you, or you can get one of those also by email afterwards. So again, that's how we have used the money this year, and I won't go through that line by line. I'll spare you that. But again, we've just separated out at the bottom some of those one-off big things that sort of throw out the last year's numbers a bit. One thing that you may be wondering is actually where are the administration costs? Where are the costs of the buildings? Where are the costs of our church worker team? Where are they? Well, actually, if I just look on the next slide a minute, that's those costs. And what we do with those costs is say, well, actually, yeah, it's really important that we resource well the activities of the church. But actually, we always have church workers for a purpose. We always do administration for a purpose. And so what we've done just on that previous slide, was to allocate all of those costs there directly to the activities and the ministries that they are supporting and doing. But just so you can see it separated out, there you are, church workers, premises and administration. We do our absolute utmost to keep those costs under control, and that's very, very difficult in this environment. But it's been great, particularly with the growth of the group of churches, to be able to resource in an additional way, particularly the team. And we have such a fantastic team that work with the church. And it's been great just over this last year to be able to boost that, to strengthen that as we prepare, you know, for further growth in the future. Now, we're almost there. Just the next slide. No accountant can truly call himself an accountant if you don't stick a balance sheet in there somewhere. So a lot of you might be thinking, actually, I was fine till you put up this slide. I was following and everything. But just to very simply explain this, imagine I'm taking a picture of Woodlands, and this is my snapshot of what a Woodlands had at the 31st of March 2012. And looking at very very simply, that the top bit there is what we have, and the bottom bit is what we have it for, why we have it. And so there you can sort of see those numbers going down. Just to highlight a few things in particular on there. One, just towards the middle there, where it says free reserves. In common with every other charity, the normal practice and the recommended practice for us to actually hold a certain degree of reserves that are available for the day-to-day ups and downs of the activities that we do. And so that's what those reserves are for. And those have gone down slightly this year, as we've chosen to invest some of that in some of the charitable loans that we have done. Those charitable loans are on that next line. You can see there's been quite an investment this year on actually how can we use the funds that we have to bless ministry through loaning those funds, and yet those funds also then being available for future other ministry opportunities. So that's on that second line. And then finally, below that, you can see the Future Development Fund. This extension project here would not be possible without having our Future Development Fund. We'd have to borrow money to do that. And so very much for us, the Future Development Fund has been about a proactive planning for capacity growth. So where we have been historically and continue to be a growing church year by year, we are constantly faced with capacity challenges. Even this Sunday, we taught a new song at Highgrove, which involved a few actions, stepping to the left and stepping to the right. And we only realised halfway through that only 20% of the congregation could step to the left or step to the right. And, you know, we have these constant challenges of capacity growth and how we deal with that. So just as I come into land, just to say, if you would like to know a little bit more about what it is to be a giver, to be part of that team giving to Woodlands Group of Churches, do have a look at the website. You'll have to put up the little mugshot on the left-hand side there, but the rest of it's quite interesting. Do have a little look. There you can download forms. You can find out all about what goes on in finance. There'll be a link there to our full financial accounts that you'll be able to see as well. And then also just on the last slide, there's my contact details. Do contact me, particularly if the question's easy. If it's difficult, Dave's more than willing to give it a go. And just my very, very final thing as I finish is to say that actually finance is a big deal. And there's a lot of people around church who work very, very hard. And I'm really very, very grateful to all the offering count teams that we have in the congregations. They're a really, really important job, counting the offering, recording, filling in onerous forms. Really grateful for the hard work they do month in, month out. And then particularly Kathy Netto does an amazing job as our bookkeeper administrator. Brilliant. But just before I'm going to hand over to Tim, I'm going to pray and thank God for all that he's done through finance. Lord, we want to thank you for your gracious provision to us. And Lord, we want to recognize that actually all we are stewarding is yours. It belongs to you, that you hold the whole world in your hands. And Lord, we say to you, Lord, thank you so much for all that financial resources have been able to release over this last year in our group of churches. And Lord, we ask, Lord, would you continue to give us wisdom? Would you continue to pour out your favour upon us, Lord, as we seek to follow your way and your will? In Jesus' name. Amen.
Wonderful. A big thank you to Ed as well, doing the treasuring in a voluntary capacity. So we really appreciate all you do, Ed, because you serve us really well. Well, what do you reckon to that then? Isn't there a lot to be thankful for? Well, there's two or three people think that's... Or was that just two of the people still awake after all that? What we wanted to do so we finish the evening is to give you a chance to join in. And hopefully everybody got a little card like this. Has everyone got a little card? Can you wave it at me? Just if you haven't got one, Nigel's got some down here. Ludo's got some in the back. If you haven't got one, wave a hand. And some people could bring some round. What we want you to do is this. I'm going to get Coase and the worship band just to come and lead us in a worship song. While they do that, I want you to think about one thing from this past year that you're thankful for. One thing that you can say, God, I thank you for this. I thank you for that answer to prayer. I thank you for the way that my home group cared for me when I was in time of trouble. I thank you that I had the opportunity to use my skills and gifts. If you need a pen, give a wave as well. I think Nigel's got some pens going around. But what I want you to do is for us all to think of at least one thing that at Thanksgiving evening here we can come and say thank you to God for. At the top of those cards I've written a verse from Psalm 50. It says this: He who sacrifices thank offerings honours me, and he prepares the ways that I may show him the salvation of God. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a thank offering. Normally, on the second Sunday of the month, these boxes are used for our financial offering. Tonight, we're going to use it as a thank offering. And what I want you to do is write down a thank you. And as we're worshipping, we're going to put these boxes at the front here. And for you to come and say, God, I'm offering you my personal thanks with gratitude in my heart, where Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, give thanks in all circumstances. And whether you feel that positive about God, about the way life's going at the moment, this evening we're going to choose, we're going to make a sacrifice, a thank offering to God. So we're just going to sing kind of the first part of this worship song. Take a chance to write a thank you down. Then I'll tell us to stand up. And then when we stand up, that'll be a signal for you to come and bring your thank offerings and give those to God. Say, God, I'm thankful. I'm truly grateful for all that you are. So while we sing this first part of the worship song, do write your thank yous. Then we'll get you to stand up and you can bring them to the front and offer them to God.
Father, we want to say again, thank you. Thank you for so many ways in which we have experienced in our own personal lives, in our life together, in community and as church, Lord. Thank you so much for your grace, for your goodness to us. We don't just want to make it a thank you on a special occasion. Give us a spirit of thanksgiving, Lord. Come by your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Make us a thankful people. Thank you again, Father, for sending Jesus. You so loved the world that you gave us your one and only Son, the Lord Jesus. Keep ever fresh in us that gratitude of life in all that we do. Continue, Lord, to build your church among us. We realize one plants, another waters, but you alone can give the increase. We look to you for the remainder of this year, Lord, and these coming months, just a sense, that continued sense of hope, Lord. That our hope is always in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget, as you go, there are various things that you might like to collect as you go. Also, the boards are still up around. If you didn't have a chance of seeing those at the beginning, just displaying some of the amazing things that go on throughout the church life.
Wonderful. If you could stack your chairs. We want to say thank you to everybody for being part of this. I can't name people, but it's wonderful to be part of all of you.